Από πού ερχόσασταν και πού πηγαίνατε?
Από Λονδίνο ήμουν για Αθήνα.
Τέλος, καλό, όλα καλά.
I've long been curious about whether or not a creative community here in Epirus exists. And on a recent trip to Yannina, I came across a workshop in the center of the city. Its windows were full of puppets, toys, and all sorts of creations. The place I had discovered was the workshop of a wood craftsman who settled in the city some years ago. Today we learn all about his life in Epirus, what inspires him to create, and why a career as a wood craftsman needs careful consideration. A new day has come in Yannina, and we're joined by Paraskevas Tsikouras, who is a woodworker, and I would say an artist, who is based right here in the center of Yannina. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Thank you. I like having you here. Andy, Adam, and the sound engineer.
Yeah, we have the whole team set up here.
The whole team is set up here.
Just before I came in, I actually saw the Grammy Award-winning American producer, Christopher King.
He's a Grammy Award winner. I didn't know that. We just met, and he's making a documentary about the music in the Southern Balkans, and he's interested in for some wooden balls for his show.
Some puppets?
Some puppets, yes, yes.
And you're going to be the man to make them?
I will meet with someone from his group, and we will discuss the details, and I will probably make them, craft them.
I mean, he's been a bastion for foreigners who've moved to the region. He was one of the first well-known faces who decided that he wanted to start a life for himself in Epirus. But he doesn't have roots from Greece. He chose Epirus as his home.
I just met him, as I said. He's very interested in musical instruments. He owns a lot of musical instruments. He told me once he had 200 guitars. He has Greek lira, which I was surprised that he had. And I also have two Greek liras here. And when the sound engineer came here, that's what we were discussing about. I had two Greek liras on the workbench. We were discussing this about. And I would like to cooperate with him, whatever he needs.
For the listeners that don't know what a lira is, can you explain?
There are three types of liras in Greece, let's call it. We were specifically talking about Pontiaki lira. Mm-hmm. It's from the people that came from Elispondos, from the places of northern Turkey. And this is their folk instrument. It's a thinner but longer violin.
And it creates the sound of?
I would say violin, an aggressive violin, a violin with a grr inside.
That's a good explanation.
That's an explanation.
I like that. You're originally from Kozani.
Yes, yes.
And
it's a neighboring state of Ioannina.
And you were born and grew up there?
Yes, I was born and grew up there.
But now you have your central studio here in Yannina.
This was just by accident. I was studying in Kefalonia in a university, technical university, which is about instrument making, guitar making. That was my specification, let's call it. As I was finishing the school, I had a girlfriend from Ioannina. So I thought, what should I do now? I cannot keep being in Lixouri. It's just a small place with few people. I cannot work as an instrument maker, as a guitar maker there. So I thought, should I go back to my hometown? Not a bad idea, but not so good idea also. And then I thought, why not give it a try in Ioannina, which is a bigger city, a lot more opportunities to find clients. It's the center of Epirus. So I thought I will settle here. And I established a workshop, a guitar repair and building workshop for 2 years. But things did not go as I thought it would be.
What happened?
Not what happened. You know, it's the whole thing, the recession in Greece. A handcrafted guitar is expensive. It's not for everybody. It's for a professional musician that lives from it. So he earns money from it. So he keeps it all also in top shape. He will buy it from me. He will bring it back to me for repairs, maintenance, setup, and all these things. So that's our relationship. That's my relationship. Every famous musician has his repairman. But at that time, even now, there is not a lot of music going around in the city. There's not live music in the city. So then I thought, what am I going to do? What should I do? And then I thought I should move the workshop in the city center and start working with anything that has to do with wood. So now you cannot say I'm a guitar maker. I'm a woodworker. Let's call me a woodworker or a general woodworking.
Are you grateful for that accidental change in direction?
I am grateful financially, because now I'm in a better state than I was when I was only dealing with guitars. I can pay the rent. I can pay the bills. I can be a person. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen next month. Do I have the rent? Is it okay? But I do a lot of things now. So I am outside my scope a lot. My workshop is not established to do these things. The tools you need in guitar making are not big, heavy machinery. You can work with smaller tools, finer tools. What I do is almost on the limit that can be done with my workshop and this type of tools that I have. I am on the limit.
That brings us on to what you do make now. Your shop window has some amazing prototypes, particularly one that we've got on the table like the today. I'm obsessed with this toy truck he's made. It's not just a truck. It's something that reminds me of my village of Tristano, because it's a truck that carries logs. And the logs that are often from Isagori used in the end as telephone power lines.
Or telephone lines, exactly.
That's it. When I saw this, I just fell in love with it. But beyond that, you have a lot of toys in your shop window.
Yes, I had, toys are nice to have as a display. The first thing I had in mind when I came here is to try to make the people understand that I am, let's say, a good craftsman, and I can build whatever they want. That's why I started using either scrap wood sometimes, even scrap wood, and make anything I can and put it on display so people can see it. Maybe not buy the exact one, but I can make one bigger, one smaller, one I can fulfill their needs.
So can you make my truck, but 10 times the size?
I can.
Oh,
I can make a real size, scale 1:1, if you want.
I found the person that I need in this city, finally.
And I have, as you said, I have many things. Some are just pieces of wood, which they are complexes of branches that, as it is, it's something for decoration, let's say. I have earrings, I have rings, and for example, I have some plates, wooden plates. I didn't build them deliberately for something. When I bought the lathe, a power tool that's called a lathe, you have to learn to use it. So it's a good thing to cut wood and how can I say it? When I try to understand how a tool works, a machine works, I try to have something in mind so I can make something and not just waste wood, not just make waste cuts. So I always, when I buy a tool and have to use it, have something in mind. Could be a toy, it could be something related to decoration, could be a structural thing, could be a table, a chair or something. And that's where I test the tool I have so I can get better. And also leave an object behind, not just leave sawdust.
You don't like waste?
Yes, I don't, no. If you see the garbage I throw out, It's only sawdust. I keep sawdust also for myself. Sawdust is very good for cleaning.
How so?
It sucks up fluids, oil, for example. If you spill oil on the floor or a coffee on the floor, you just throw some sawdust, let it set a bit, move it around and collect it. It's a very good cleaning product.
Amazing. So we're surrounded by all these prototypes, all these inventions that you have, all these ideas. But your bread and butter, as we say in England, what pays the rent?
My bread and butter these days are signposts for villages in the region of Jumerka. My bread and butter these days are tree felling. Sometimes I go help some people that fell trees. They are professionals. I'm not a professional tree feller. But you need two or three people to get the job done. My other bread and butter is a friend of mine that has a puppet theater, and I help him with any kind of construction, even it's the scenery of the background or the same puppets, their bodies, and the handle, the control handle of the puppets. Anything. I make a lot of signs for bakeries, coffee shops. It could be just a small letter, the word coffee or bar. Or it could be a big signpost describing the product that the shop has. My bread and butter are repairs. Some broken chairs, broken tables. Sometimes I do other jobs. Painting, for example. Painting walls. Not artistic, it's just painting walls. We have a chicken coop. We have eggs and chickens too.
Do you think the diversity in what you do?
The diversity is what keeps me alive, but I can say that I do get wasted. My talent goes wasted. I could just be a guitar maker, and the person who needed me would get the most out of me.
But I imagine the industry when it comes to guitar making is quite limited. Do you have a lot of requests from people who want guitars?
The last guitar I built in the 2019, an electric guitar for a football player in Parga. So now we have 2024. It's almost 5 years ago. I did a couple of repairs. I do have some repairs in the meantime. I repair instruments. But the people that bring in the instruments, they want it to be done as cheap as possible. And it's not viable. I do it. But it's not. You cannot live with just guitar making or guitar repairing.
So people choose a cheaper alternative.
Of course, yes, they choose a cheaper alternative. The industry now, you talked about industry, the machines, the factories now are very, very good. They can produce high-quality instruments. You know, maybe in the whole process, there is no human hand touching the instrument, and it's finished. And it's high quality, not low quality. In the old times, in 1980, let's say, factory-made guitars were pretty bad. Then they get better as industry and the machines and equipment gets better. What they can produce, it gets better by the progress. So now, these days, you can say a handmade guitar from me costs at least 1,000 euros or 1,000 pounds, so people can understand. Factory-made guitar can cost from 100, which is very low, and this instrument will not be good, but you can go over 300 euros, 350, 400 euros, and you could get something that is okay.
I think also us as consumers, we often want instant gratification now. So we don't want to save up twice as long in order to afford the...
Yeah, I have many examples now. You know, you have a person bringing you a very cheap guitar in the workshop and asking for a repair, and he's... let's say he's going to pay 10 euros. He wants the repair to be done with 10 euros, but the same person owns an iPhone. So there is something going wrong there. In the days we live in, what matters is marketing, not craftsmanship. If you make something scrap, but you market it correctly, you will sell it, even if it doesn't worth the value you're asking for it. Marketing is the importance of these days, not craftsmanship. You can sell everything. You can sell air from your anina. Let's start selling empty bottles.
But I think a soul of a product also counts for something. So I could have this.
You know, it counts, but only from mouth to mouth. If you buy this track and you're satisfied with this and you put it in yourself and you feel good about it, you will tell it to another person. I bought this track from Ioannina from Paris, blah, blah, blah. He might be interested. But marketing with the means we have now, computers, internet and all that, it destroys everything.
But there's no story behind those products. What counts for me is story.
You are looking for the story, but...
I'm a little romantic about
this.
You're
romantic, yes. What percentage of people do you think are looking for a story? Everyone is looking for to get the job done.
Yeah, I'm
so
romantic.
So if you have a child that complains, I want a guitar, you just buy the guitar and it's done, it's finished.
Yeah, I understand. And not everyone has the financial means.
In Greece, of course. Yes. Don't forget where we are. We are still recovering. They say we are recovering. I'm not sure. It's not what I see because when you fell trees, I go all over the region and I see poverty. I can't say right now we are okay. I see poverty all around me. In the road where the workshop is, there are a couple of gyms, and the other shops, right and left, they are empty. And they are empty since I came here. I came here in 2014, I think, in this area, in this place. 2014 or 2015. And they are still empty.
Well, brings us back to Epirus. Is there a benefit to you being based in a region that has access to wood?
No. The wood that I use for guitar making, and that's what I had in mind then, at that time, is not from Epirus, and it's not from Greece at all. In guitar making, you use wood that comes from Amazon River, Vietnam, USA. For example, I have spruce in the workshop, but it's alpine spruce. It's not Greek spruce. There are reasons behind that. There are reasons. The only type of wood I could say that you use from local, from Epirus, it will be walnut. Because I have a piece right here, this one. The only type of wood that I see that could be used, it will be walnut from the region of Epirus. From the region of Greece, maybe some fruity woods that produce fruit could be used in guitar making. But it's not traditional. Mahogany is traditional in guitar making. We don't have mahogany in Greece. As I said before, the spruce has to be northern for reasons. We use rosewood in guitars. We use ebony. They're not native. You know, you can make a guitar out of anything, but it will not sound as it should.
But what about...
You can make a guitar out of beach.
But aside from the guitars, what about your other products, your signposts?
For the signposts, I used plywood. But yes, you can. And I made a lot of signposts with Greek spruce. Spruce that I fell.
Which areas of Epirus do you go to fell your trees?
We go to private properties. Let's say you have a tree in your yard and you want it taken down. We come there and we cut it down. Even if we have to use a crane, we have people that we cooperate. We take the crane with us. I'm the second person. I'm not the person who cuts the tree, who fells the tree. I'm the second person. There has to be a second person always. It's a two-man job, felling trees.
So which areas would you normally take them from everywhere in Epirus?
We have been in the area of Ioannina, even inside the city. There are a lot of trees hidden in the city. There are a lot of trees. We've been in Terovo. We've been been a lot. Not on your places, on Zagori. I haven't been on this place at all. I've never been up there. But you can see all over the place. Because I do this job, this second job, let's call it, for 7 years now. Right now, the process I use, I always keep pieces of the trunk, not branches. The best part is the trunk.
Okay.
It's the best. We cut it with any means we have. sometimes the piece of wood I have here is cut all the way with chainsaw. This is a bad cut. This is a bad because I cannot use it properly in the workshop. But we set up another place. It's 7 kilometers outside of the city. We have two big bandsaws. One of them can take up a whole trunk, 3 meters long. You load the trunk on the wagons and you push it through the blade. Two-person job. One in the front, one in the back. And you take out planks of wood. And right now, in that place, there are 7-8 trunks waiting to be cut. It's a hard job, very hard to the body. You always get hurt, you're full of scratches and bleeding.
If a tree has died or if a tree is sick, can you also take advantage of that?
No. Maybe you can take advantage of it visually. When a tree dies, as you say, there's mold, there are other things inside, and visually you can see, you see things that shouldn't be there. Shadows, small dimples. It could be not strong to make a structure, mechanical structure, but it could be nice visually. So you can say many people use it. Some people do it deliberately. You know, cut a healthy piece of wood and let it soak a bit on the mud and the floor, leave it as is. And then just before the mold comes and destroys it, you take it out and you use a bandsaw, cut pieces out, and you can use these pieces. It's visually beautiful.
In Epirus especially, there's this majestic tree that I love called the Platanus.
Platanus, yes.
And the Platanus is the wise owl of the village. It looks over and looks after everybody in the village square.
Yes.
And it's just a very special, noble tree. I've also heard that the Platanus suffers from sickness now and again. And so you get these trees up to 600-700 years old that need to be chopped down.
And they are.
And they are. And the whole community's sad about it because that tree's been around far longer than any of us or our ancestors have been. Having said that, can you use the wood of a Platanus and turn it into something beautiful?
The Platanus you're describing, the sick Platanus, you're not allowed to do nothing with it. It goes to be destroyed.
Really?
Yes, and it's a crime. If you steal pieces, you can go down by the lake, and maybe even now as we speak, maybe there is a group of people that cutting down a tree or something, but you're not allowed, and it's an offense. It's an offense if you take a piece, because you can transfer the sickness. The sickness, I read an article about that, and they said that the sickness is here from 1940. It's an old sickness that just somehow exploded the last few years. And even in the region of Terovo, where the beautiful mountain, the river flows there, now it's like a horror movie. They're all dead. All the trees are dead. This is bad. Even if I don't come from Ioannina, I feel compassion for the people because we are chopping down a tree now that my father might have seen it. My grandfather might have seen it. My great-great-great-grandfather might have seen it. You know the story, as you said, 600, 700 years, and it has to be chopped. But it has to be done. There is no cure. That's the only way. They're chopping down Platanus, and they are, I think they are installing maples now. Maple is stronger.
How do you think the disease transfers from one tree to another?
Many ways. With a chainsaw. As the chainsaw cuts, it takes out particles. Sawdust. And then you get home, then you go to the next tree. The birds could transfer. I don't know exactly. I cannot say. But even the seed, a bird with a seed can transfer it. Human touch, boots with mud. I don't know exactly, but for them being so serious about it, they just chop it down and they don't even give it out as firewood. So it must be contagious, extremely contagious.
It's interesting to talk about your relationship with trees because they're living things.
You say if I feel bad if I'm taking down a tree. No.
It's not a...
Not a straight answer, yes.
Not a no.
Yes, because it's something beautiful. We are taking down dangerous trees. And it's private properties. If I feel bad about the tree taking down, well, of course you can say I do. You do feel bad, but it's not something I'm concerned when I do that. I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm thinking about more how can I use the end product, the trunk, as I said before. I always try to keep the trunk and collect the trunk. The tree has to be taken down. It's dangerous for the house, for the people that live there. It could fall on the house. There are many accidents here. Usually we try to make a deal. Either we get paid for a job and we leave the tree behind. Either we get paid a little more, maybe, and we chop it down for firewood if the owner wants it. Either we make a deal, which sometimes is beneficial, you could say. We chop it down, we take the trunk. And when we take the trunk, we could be a nice piece of walnut. Walnut is expensive. It's a valid wood. So that's why we settle down to this deal. We say, okay, we'll come to your place, we'll cut it down, but the trunk is ours. Walnut has a nice color, a brown color.
Kind of caramel color.
It varies. It starts from gray, which I don't like, and goes until extremely dark. I have a piece of dark walnut back there on the wall. It's American, it's not Greek. It's from California.
Not dissimilar to mahogany.
No. Mahogany is a little... mahogany is this.
I grew up with a lot of mahogany from my Greek grandparents. Because it was... mahogany. That's much lighter than any of the mahogany we have.
Lighter color?
This is much lighter. Ours was stained darker, I think.
It could be stained, but it could be mahogany also. There is also, when we talk about wood and say mahogany, what we are talking is the big family of mahoganies. There's not one mahogany. There is a family of mahoganies. Could be 150 different mahoganies. One type of mahogany is called purple heart, and it's purple. And I have a piece here, but I won't get up to show you. It's very far. It's a purple piece of wood. And it's not just one small side. It's the whole trunk is purple.
Amazing. And where does that grow?
I think Africa. I think most of mahogany comes from Africa. There is some Honduras. I think maybe Spain. Spain? No, I don't think Spain has mahogany.
You have to tell me what wood you need from England next time I come back.
I have some English woods here. I have some English ash, swamp ash. Somewhere there are some guitar bodies that are pre-made in an English workshop, and they are called discarded because they have some errors.
Yeah.
And I bought them on eBay. You just bid for them. And when I see the value, swamp ash is nice for guitar, for electric guitar. I'm talking about electric guitar bodies. The other thing about the region where we talked about before is that there's a lot of wood taken down here, but the wood is not processed to the final product. There's a lot of trees taken down here in Ioannina, but they all go for firewood. That's something the state could do to process it properly and make it a wooden board and sell it for profit.
Do you think that the government provide enough support for your industry?
General woodworking. I wouldn't expect the government to do something about it. Why should the government do something about it?
Well, the current government seems to be focused on profit. So
every government is focused on profit. Let's leave that. But, this is something I chose. It didn't go well in the beginning, and still it's not going well. I keep doing it. It's my problem, not the government's problem. They could do something about the artistic style, that there is some kind of art. I don't see it as art. I see it as mathematics and physics mostly than art. I'm not good in painting. I'm not good in music. I play the bass, but I'm not that very good. The job, what I do now, I would not call it art. I would call it mathematics. I would classify music as art. I would classify painting as art. But woodworking, it's a little more practical. Even if you make statues, if you carve, if you do, it's not art. You know, people see me as artist, but I don't consider myself as artist. I consider myself to be good at something, but it's not. You can make it. If I teach you, you can make the track. In high school, I was 14, I think. We had the lesson one hour a week that it explained all every university and school, technical school that was out there. So when we go on and give the exams, we give the exams on our 18th year birthday. And I was looking at the leaflet. There is medicine school, informatics, engineering, many things that could interest a person. And I just saw this piece, sound technology and guitar making and all this. So I thought, it was at that time that I bought the bass and I started playing the bass with my friend, a couple of friends who played the guitar. And I was into music and I thought it would be nice having a workshop. I thought about getting older.
You could visualize it.
I visualized myself getting older and having a workshop and building guitars and basses and all these things. And I said, that's a job I'm going to make. And I gave the exams. I have been to the school, and that's how it started. You could say by accident. It could be something on the next page. But that's how I started getting into this guitar-making thing.
I've loved hearing you talk about your profession today, and I'm sure listeners of this podcast of Ipurus Falls have also really enjoyed this episode. Perhaps some of them are even thinking about their own career in woodwork. What would your advice be to anyone who's thinking about getting into this?
I would say go for it. In England, I would say stop doing this job. In Britain, generally. In the States, for example, in United States, you can find a lot of people that are very, very good woodworkers. And they're famous. In Greece, I don't know. If you have a workshop from your father, I would advise the youngster to keep it up. Because the customers of your father will become your customers. There is a flow. There is your father to give you advice. I had no one to give me advice. My family, my mother is at home, and my father was a policeman. I didn't have someone to help me. The school I attended was not super high level. And another thing we have to talk about is the danger of the job. There are spinning blades, which does it worth, as I am, as a person, does it worth to take out my thumb, for example, for a project that worth 10 euros for something? Does it worth? Or the other thing I do with felling trees, you can get seriously injured, you can even die if you are outside in the mountain. Does it worth for a low payment? The other guy I work with, felling trees, he lost two or three, but not full fingers, tips. Not from the chainsaw, he's very good on the chainsaw, he lost it in the bandsaw. You know, it's a big conversation if it works, if I would suggest someone to start this job. If you have another job, don't start this one. You can keep it as a hobby. Some people do it as a hobby. And it's okay. But starting a full business in, I don't know, 50-50.
I think that's an amazing response. It's a very...
50-50. It's a real response.
Through the course of this interview and getting to know you, you're a very outward-looking person. Have you had much of a chance to travel outside of Greece?
No. I've never been outside Greece. I traveled a lot of in Greece, and I worked in a lot of places I have been, but never outside Greece.
Would you like to travel more?
You know, every person in the world likes to travel, likes to have the free time, the money, and travel, but...
But you like the idea of traveling with a sense of purpose.
Yes, yes, yes. In Greek, we call it ekpaidevtikes ekdromes, educational road trips. We used to go when we were young in school. They used to take us in many businesses, in factories and other things, so we can see what's the job. but not going to swim in the Bahamas. I'm not interested in that. I know it would be nice. I would be relaxed in the beach in Brazil, in Copacabana. I would have good company. I would like that, of course. Anyone would. But I would, if I had the choice, if I had to choose watching someone beating a longbow in England and going to Copacabana, I would choose England.
I love that. Lastly, how do you imagine your future here in Epirus as a craftsman and life here for yourself?
There are some talks now. I talk with a friend of mine. He wants to buy land and start repairing the decks of the yachts, woodwork on yachts. That's something we're talking about. He says, if you are in this kind of situation, you can come and work with me. I'm thinking about that. If I wanted, I could leave. Just, I need the truck. Put all the tools inside and leave and go try something in another place. I would like to go and work abroad. I wouldn't mind doing that. Because I think I will be safer abroad. I worry about the future in Greece. I worry, you know, there was a small period that was good, 2017, 2018, then COVID came. And when COVID came, I was destroyed. Because people look at the important things, you know, bread, heating the houses. That's something that happened all over the world, of course, but it hits you hard if you are on the low budget. Let's say I'm in the low budget. It hits you hard when you are in the low budget. And to keep this place running, there's a lot of bills. Every machine, every woodworking machine, the bands or the tables or everything, it consumes power. It's extremely expensive. It's not, that's why I said 50-50 when you said, would you suggest someone to do that? If he's in a bad state, no, don't start doing it. One thing I can say about the job, the woodworking job, is that takes a lot of your time. If you are a person of social media, if you are a person of computer, if you are, I used to play some video games. I played Football Manager, for example. That's a game that takes a lot of your time. Right now, I stopped. Woodworking takes a lot of time. You think a lot. You try to be safe a lot. You must have a clear mind. When I start my day here, I have my coffee, have my cigarettes, and then I begin. I relax. I wake up and relax a little bit, and then I start working. And it's something that can fully occupy you. You can work 12, 14, 16 hours. You can make the job for you if you make a lot of things. You can begin with a truck, then stop, then put some finish on a mushroom, then start all over with a truck, then make the wheels on the lathe. You can go around the tools and you are rested also. You don't just stand in a place and do the same. I wouldn't be interested to go in a factory that uses wood and makes products out of wood. I would not like it. I would not like to work in a factory. I prefer this.
I think some of your satisfaction seems to come from not knowing what's next.
You never know what's coming next.
But that's the best thing,
you
right?
You never know. Okay, you can say that. You can say that. But you never know what's coming next. You never know the next person that enters the door. What's the problem? What will he ask? Well, you never know what you will meet. You say, maybe I have repaired 50 chairs, maybe 100 chairs. All over the years. But each one is different. Different problem every time. Different cracks, different joints, different...
And as a result, you were approached by an American producer today to create some puppets. And you did what I presume is probably your first podcast.
Yes, that was my first.
Paris, it's been such a pleasure to be with you today, to get to know you a little bit better. And I really hope that we continue to find a way to collaborate together. I have some ideas in my head. And beyond that, I hope I can find a way to purchase this truck from you because, like I said, it's really one of my favorite things I've seen in a long time.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. I really like having you here, having this conversation. I refreshed my English. I'm sorry for any mistakes, a bit, language mistakes. Accent mistakes. But it was nice. It was nice having something different. As we talked before, as always, different things happening. And it's good for me. Get out of my shelter. Get out of my egg. Go become famous. That's what I'm looking for, becoming famous now. I hope you can make it happen.
Let's see. Last question. Listeners of this podcast, when they come to Yanina, are they able to knock on your door too, like I did?
Of course. I'm open to everyone. If I'm in the workshop, because as I said, sometimes we work in the fields. But anyone who visits the city can come and find me. And we can have a conversation, discuss things.
And the truck, is it for sale?
I can give it to you as a gift.
That's not allowed.
But no, I can give it to you.
That's very kind of you. Paris, once again, thank you so much for being part of this new series of Epirus Falls. We've loved talking to you.